ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, so today we will conclude our study of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu by discussing the essence of last three chapters 17, 18 and 19. This is chapter 17, Ecstatic Love, Bhava Bhakti. We will read from the purport of Srila Prabhupada. By the process of executing a regulated devotional service, one is actually elevated unto the transcendental stage, beyond the material modes of nature. At that time, one's heart becomes illuminated like the sun. The sun is far above the planetary systems, and there is no possibility of its being covered by any kind of cloud. Similarly, when a devotee is purified like the sun, from his pure heart, there is a diffusion of ecstatic love, which is more glorious than the sunshine. Only at that time is the attachment to Krishna perfect. Spontaneously, the devotee becomes eager to serve the Lord in his ecstatic love. At this stage, the devotee is on the platform of Uttama Adhikari, perfect devotion. Such a devotee has no agitation from material affections and is interested only in the service of Radha and Krishna. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnana. Hare Krishna. So, we discussed about all these weeks about the sadhana bhakti, the process of practicing devotional service in a regulated way, and that practice of devotional service under the guidance of the spiritual master and the senior devotees of the Lord, then that devotional service, which is performed with some kind of discipline, gives rise to spontaneous practice. The same thing what we are practicing in devotional service, it gives rise that we naturally become attracted to practice the process of devotional service. The difference between the spontaneous attraction towards sadhana is that, you know, he likes to do it. Prabhupada gives the example of, he likes to attend Mangalarti, he likes to chant Hare Krishna, he likes to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. That becomes part of his system. And then the definition which Rupa Goswami gives about Raganuga practice of devotional service is that while executing one's devotional service, a devotee of the Lord, he contemplates or he practices devotional service by following in the footsteps of the devotees of Vrindavan or any pure devotees of the Lord. Vrindavan devotees or devotees of Dwarka. Raga Anuga. Anuga means following in the footsteps. And then when he continues to do that, then as here in Rupa Goswami is speaking about Bhava Bhakti. Bhava means he develops ecstatic symptoms. These ecstatic symptoms are mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And also in the future chapters of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami specifically deals about these things, which is not part of our study. We will not discuss that. But he discusses in the future chapters. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would exhibit all of these ecstatic symptoms, especially when he would dance in the presence of Lord Jagannath, and also when he would have discussion with his confidential devotees like Ramananda Raya Swarup Damodar Goswami. And as Prabhupada explains in a very practical way, Bhava Bhakti means when someone is not affected by any modes, he is beyond the modes, and he gives the example of sun. When we go beyond the clouds, we see that sun is never affected by the clouds. Of course, sun is never affected by the clouds. It is because we are below the sun and the clouds. Therefore, to our vision, it appears that the sun is being covered by the cloud. Actually, our vision is obstructing to see the sun. But when we go beyond the clouds, then we can see the sun. Similarly, as it is explained in the Bhagavatam also, evam prasanna manaso bhagavat bhakti yogata, that when he is freed from the effect of the modes of material nature, rajogun and tamogun, then one becomes very satisfied. Evam prasanna manaso bhagavat bhakti yogata. Bhagavat tattva vijnana mukta sangasya jayate. Then he becomes situated in his original consciousness. And elsewhere Prabhupada explains that bhava bhakti means the seedling of prema, the ankura of prema. It is sprouting. And eventually this ecstatic symptoms will turn into prema bhakti. It will become fully grown tree of Krishna prema, through which a devotee of the Lord can relish the fruit of prema bhakti. In the practical way, Srila Prabhupada explains, especially for the practicing devotees of ISKCON, how to analyze who is in ecstatic symptoms, who is actually have the love for Krishna, who is exhibiting ecstatic symptoms. Prabhupada explains, there are two kinds of effect of devotional service. One is executive and one is effective. Executive devotional service means sadhana bhakti. And our sadhana has to lead us towards the effect of that bhakti, effect of that sadhana. And what is that effect? The effect is that we develop some symptoms of love of Krishna. Krishna prem, or the ecstatic symptom for Krishna, is developed. And Prabhupada gives the example of Amrish Maharaj. When Amrish Maharaj was being chased by Durvasa Muni's Sudarshan Chakra, when Durvasa Muni was trying to kill Amrish Maharaj, what did Amrish Maharaj do? He folded his hands. And there were tears in his eyes, not because he was fearful. The tears were manifestation of his ecstatic love. He didn't become fearful, neither he had lack of confidence in the protection of the Lord. He just folded his hands, saying that whatever comes to me is all by your grace. So Prabhupada explains that is the symptom of being in ecstatic love. Then Srila Prabhupada also explains that this bhava bhakti can be arose by two ways. We always want to know, when will I attain Krishna prem? We have discussed the whole process of devotional service, because this whole book deals with the science of Krishna consciousness. And anyone who practices this science of Krishna consciousness as prescribed by Rupa Goswami and Srila Prabhupada, it is guaranteed, there is no question. It is just like a chemical combination. If we have hydrogen and oxygen, that has to create water. There is no question of not creating. And not following the process will have another result. It is guaranteed. So here Rupa Goswami is giving that guarantee, and Srila Prabhupada also is giving that guarantee. He explains that bhava bhakti can be caused by two ways. One is when we engage in the process of sadhana bhakti under the guidance of a pure devotee of the Lord. That means constant association of a pure devotee in the form of actually associating with him or else hearing from him. In fact, the parampara of Gaudiya Vaishnav Sampradaya is not the parampara body. Somebody recently in one place, he asked this question to Radhanath Swami Maharaj, that sometime we don't get the association of our spiritual master and others are getting so much more. So he explained that our parampara is not parampara body. It is the parampara vani. So when we get to hear the words of a pure devotee, either by reading his books, hearing his tapes or getting the chance to actually hear from him directly. So when this constant association of pure devotees is there, in no time, eventually, in this very lifetime, he can develop bhava bhakti. The bhava bhakti will be developed. The ecstatic symptom for Krishna will develop. Another way Srila Prabhupada explains that one can actually receive bhava bhakti when there is a special mercy of Krishna and his devotees. When somebody is specially blessed by Krishna and his devotees, all of a sudden, even though one is not qualified to receive that, he develops that affection and love for a pure devotee and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Last time we discussed about this. Prabhupada explains in one of the chapters in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, I think it is in the third chapter, eligibility to practice devotional service. That even though one may have a problem to practice the process of Krishna consciousness, but if he has unflinching attraction for Krishna or unflinching attraction for the pure devotee of the Lord, he is also qualified to practice devotional service. So all of a sudden, it may happen that a pure devotee may bestow his mercy. Krishna may bestow his sudden mercy on a devotee and immediately may exhibit ecstatic symptoms. The example is there, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime. When Mahaprabhu decided, when the aggressors were attacking the kirtan party of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the devotees became very scared. And Mahaprabhu, to establish his power in the form of bestowing Krishna's mercy, what did he do? He called upon Narayani, the knees of Shivas, and instantly bestowed ecstatic symptoms in the heart of Narayani. She started dancing in ecstasy. That is called as special mercy. Instantly, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bestowed his mercy. Another example is there. The tailor, again, this tailor was not born in a Vedic community. He also exhibited ecstatic symptoms. How did he exhibit? He was the washerman of Shivas Thakur. And he saw the form of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And suddenly started jumping. I have seen, I have seen, I have seen. What did he see? Nobody could understand. But the symptoms were manifested in the heart of this tailor. Instantly. Another example is there. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the fisherman, he was trying to catch fish in the ocean of Jagannath Puri. And then he suddenly touched the body of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that was the time when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was exhibiting all kinds of ecstatic symptoms. It was like touching high voltage. And when he touched the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what happened? Immediately he exhibited the ecstatic symptoms. Even though the fisherman could not realize he was experiencing love of God. And Prabhupada explained that happens very, very rarely. One should not sit and wait that this kind of mercy will be bestowed upon me. One should continue to practice the process of Krishna consciousness as prescribed by the previous acharyas and the scriptures, and continue to execute the devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He gives the example that most people, when they get their degree, what do they do? What do? They have to go to the college. They attend the classes. They have to be regular in their attendance and hear properly from their teacher. That is the normal course where you get your degree. But there are some rare cases without even going to college. We discussed this before. Some famous people were not even literate. They didn't even know how to write, but they were given honorary doctorate degree. Why? Because that was a special honor given by the university for some specific reason. So similarly, one may not be able to understand why Krishna bestows that mercy, even though one may not go through the full process of Krishna consciousness, but he is given that mercy. But that is very rare. And then Srila Prabhupada gives the example. Of course, Rupa Goswami gives the example of Narada Muni. Narada Muni is the example of practicing devotional service in a regulated way. Yes, he met the pure devotees, the Bhaktivedantas came to his place. He was born to a very ordinary family. His mother was an ordinary woman. And he had no access to going to Gurukul. But some other, you know, the good fortune struck to him. The Bhaktivedantas were traveling. And they came to his place. And Narada Muni was naturally attracted to them. It is quite common to see if there is a young child and if the sadhus are staying, one becomes attracted. One of the great followers of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also, some devotees, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also went to his place. He stayed there for some time. And because he stayed there, what happened? That small young child developed strong attraction to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and his followers. He would not leave them. And seeing his attraction for devotees, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur requested, "Would you like to give your son to our place? I will train him personally." And the father was also a very great devotee. He said, "Yes, you take my son." And this young child, his initial attraction was attachment to the pure devotee. He came there and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur trained him in the process of sadhana bhakti. And then he became a big sannyasi, became a big preacher in the Gaudiya mission. So there was an association of pure devotees and he practiced the sadhana bhakti and he became great. And Narada Muni's example is given by Rupa Goswami. Narada Muni came in contact with the pure devotees. He heard from them. He took Mahaprasad by their permission. And he became so serious in devotional service, Narada Muni is explaining to Vyasadeva. He said, how he became so advanced, how he became so great as a Narada Muni. He explains what were his qualities. Because sadhana bhakti includes some regulation. It is not hodgepodge. Some rules and regulations are there. He says he was not attached to sports. He was grave. He was sober. He never got involved in ordinary activities. In this way, he developed attraction for the process of Krishna consciousness. And he practiced the process very seriously. And Krishna bestowed him some slight ecstasy towards him. Narada Muni was fascinated by that. And again he wanted to have the vision of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna said, "You are not completely purified. Now I have given you the glimpse of what it is like to be having the association of my personal form. Now you work hard for this." That shows that Narada Muni attained ecstatic symptoms by his hard endeavor. He practiced very strongly with great eagerness. And then Rupa Goswami gives another example of one devotee. This is quoted in the Padma Puran. That whole night she was dancing for Krishna. And suddenly she developed ecstatic symptoms. These two ways one can see that one develops ecstatic symptoms. And Rupa Goswami explains how suddenly one may attain the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He gives three ways that how one can suddenly receive the mercy of the Lord. We discuss the story. The Lord may speak some nice words. By hearing the nice words, either from the Lord or from the pure devotee, one will develop ecstatic symptoms. Second, when the Lord glances or the pure devotee glances on any ordinary person, he develops some ecstatic symptoms. And then third is simply by good wishes. Let everybody become pure devotees of the Lord. We read in the Mangalacharan of any book, the authentic scriptures, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and also in Srila Prabhupada's books. What does they say? That they bestow their good wishes, that let everyone be drowned in the ecstasy of Krishna Prem. Because a pure devotee, because there is a love for Krishna, that love expands. They want everybody should experience that. By the good wishes of pure devotees, this Kali Yuga is not meant to be practicing devotional service. Because there is no facilities to practice devotional service. In fact, the whole material world, Prabhupada explained, that the whole material world is not a conducive place to practice devotional service. And what to speak of this age of Kali? Very difficult. But because there are some pure devotees of the Lord, they are offering best wishes. It is not our efforts. In ultimate sense, we put our efforts, but in ultimate sense, it is the blessing, it is the desire of the pure devotees. Because they desire that, let there be many pure devotees. And Krishna has to fulfill their desires. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada, one time he was explaining, he asked one of his disciples, you know, they were going to some place, and one lady, she was trying to come out of the car with her child. And it was a little difficult for her. And Prabhupada made a comment, burden of love. It is difficult that you are not able to come out, but still you can't drop the child. Why? Because you love the child. It's a burden of love. And then Prabhupada said, which is better? The kitten way, or the cat way, or the monkey way? Nobody could understand what Prabhupada was saying. Again he said, you didn't understand? He said, which is better? The raising of the child in the way the cat raises, or the monkey raises? And because most devotees in those times, they didn't know the detailed culture of this, they could not understand. Then Prabhupada answered. He said, in a monkey way, when the monkey raises her child, the monkey has to endeavor herself to climb on the lap of her mother, to climb on the backside. And every time the monkey tries, she falls off. Many times she falls off. But he said, have you noticed the cat? The kitten does not endeavor. The cat, because she likes her child, she picks her up from her mouth. Again, Prabhupada said, which is the better way? And everybody said, Prabhupada, kitten, the cat way is better. He said, devotional service is like that. Devotional service is that we learn to depend on Krishna. We become helpless. Not that we become lazy and helpless. That is not expected. By executing devotional service, one comes to know that my endeavor is not sufficient. But he does not stop endeavoring. That is the beauty of it. On a physical level, he continues to endeavor as if he is going to attain success. But on the level of the heart and on the level of intelligence, he understands my endeavor is not sufficient. And for such a devotee, Lord bestows his supreme mercy by wishing good about him. Or glancing at him, like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita it is explained, that whenever he would glance on any person, it was guaranteed that he would attain love of God. Krishna, blessing, speaking nice words, and Rupa Goswami quotes different scriptures, how by the words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by the glance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and by the best wishes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His pure devotees, one may suddenly develop ecstatic symptoms. So it doesn't matter either one develops suddenly or by practice. Either way, one can develop ecstatic symptom for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then Rupa Goswami talks about, even in those times, he is warning of the false ecstatic symptoms exhibited by imitationist, the Sahajiyas. Prabhupada was explaining, I was listening to his lecture yesterday, and Prabhupada explains, sometime we find in the holy places, some people shed tears when they hear the pastimes of the Lord. They cry for Krishna. And after crying for Krishna for a long time, then they go out, they say, now my mouth is very dry, so let me smoke some bidi or cigarette. So this is not proper behavior. It is an imitation. Or another time that is called as Chaya Bhav. And there is another one imitation. What is it? When somebody comes in the association of great devotees, he is surrounded by many, many great devotees. And when he comes in the association of great devotees, their power, their love for Krishna suddenly reflects in the heart of even this Kanishta or not even one who is practicing properly devotional service, he starts exhibiting some kind of ecstatic symptoms. He shed tears. He claps his hands in ecstasy. He in fact comes out of the realm of the influence of the modes of material nature. That is also chaya. It is there not because of his own qualification, because he is surrounded by pure devotees. When the pure devotees are not there, then his ecstatic symptom disappears. So then Srila Prabhupada explains the genuine ecstatic symptoms. One of the characteristics, we discussed many times about the characteristic of devotional service. Unless the characteristics are there, one cannot know what that person is. By the characteristics of a person, one can recognize. Therefore, Rupa Goswami talks many times. How do you understand who is practicing devotional service? He is freed from all miseries. He becomes happy in devotional service. Similarly, the characteristic of a devotee, one who has attained bhava bhakti, is that his heart becomes very, very soft. It becomes very soft. When Srila Prabhupada, during his departure pastime, anybody would come to him, he would touch their hands. He would cry tears. He would say, "You have done so much for me." Even some ordinary doctor, he came to Srila Prabhupada. He had done some small surgery in London and he came to meet Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada was crying that he was being grateful to him, even though he took money for that surgery. So that is the sign that the heart of a devotee becomes very, very soft. And anything which reminds him of Krishna, anything which reminds him of the spiritual master, anything which reminds him of the pure devotional service, instantly there is tears in his eyes. He cannot tolerate, he cannot avoid them. It becomes quite manifested when it is beyond his control. Of course, most of the time as a preacher of Krishna consciousness movement, Srila Prabhupada would never exhibit these symptoms. But sometime it would be beyond his control. When he was singing, I think first time, the prayers of Radha Madhava in Gorakhpur, you know, the tears were shooting from his eyes. Why? Because it was beyond his control. But most of the time he would control. So Rupa Goswami explains that is not the major sign, that shedding tears. Because the imitationist also, they learn the art of shedding tears. So many people go to movies and they like these movies, family, kautumbik movies, where there is a lot of crying. Their whole napkin, handkerchief become wet. You can squeeze and remove a lot of water from that. But those tears have no value. In fact, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Srila Prabhupada quotes, such tears, what do? They wash all the conclusion of the Shastras. Therefore, tears are not exactly the symptoms of bhava bhakti. It is one of the symptoms. Rupa Goswami gives two symptoms. One is the primary characteristics and one is secondary characteristic. What is the primary characteristics? The primary characteristic is that he is beyond the influence of mode of passion and ignorance. The Shuddha Sattva, the Sattva Guna, is very, very strongly illuminating. That is the primary characteristic. He is not affected by the mode of passion. He is not affected by the mode of ignorance. That is the primary characteristic. And that's how we can judge the imitationist. That they smoke, they eat tobacco, they become upset and angry instantly. And when they hear some pastimes of the Lord, they actually endeavor, they make a practice of crying. But that is the secondary characteristic, that one shed tears. So Srila Prabhupada explains that these symptoms can be recognized. And then Srila Rupa Goswami gives 9 characteristics of a person who is practicing bhava bhakti. Again, it makes more clear. What is the first characteristics? Avyatya kalatvam. That such a devotee of the Lord does not waste his time. He is constantly engaged in the service of the Lord. Prabhupada gave a practical example. We were discussing today afternoon in our class that people sometime come to religious religion or religious societies with the expectation of some mystical experience. Or some mystical experience will be experienced by you, why don't you come here? But Srila Prabhupada gave a practical experience. You judge everything by a practical situation. It is not mystical, it is practical. Therefore, hundreds of devotees can practice it. You don't have to come in a closed doors. Anybody can come inside. Anybody can be part of the process of devotional service. There is nothing which is confidential. Even though it is great confidential, but anybody can practice. So first characteristic of one who is engaged in bhava bhakti or exhibiting bhava bhakti, that he does not waste his time. And Prabhupada explained that you can know who is advanced devotee, one who is actually have love for Krishna, is that when there is unlimited service, he goes and does that service. Prabhupada gave a very practical example. If we have to be forced to render service, that means there is no love. But when you see that there is a service and you instantly render service, he said, that is love for Krishna. You don't have to be told. Then we don't need to have a counselor, then we don't need to have a service authority, then we don't need to have a temple commander to force us. This service is there, that service is there. He sees the service and he renders the service. That is the first qualification. He does not waste his time. And second, perseverance. Another beautiful example Rupa Goswami gives. That it is quite easy to practice devotional service when everything is going on nicely. You have a nice situation, you are surrounded by nice people, your family situation is good. Therefore, sometime, some non-devotees, they accuse devotional service to be a luxury. Oh, it can be practiced by only those people who have got everything. What about us? We have nothing. We have to work hard to raise our family. We have to work very hard to meet our two ends. In this way, people talk about that. So they try to minimize the process of Krishna consciousness by saying that it is only meant for some class of people. No, it is not like that. Rupa Goswami gives the example of Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit Maharaj was a great devotee since he was born. And when was he born? He was born when everything became very nice. Pandavas had already conquered the Kauravas. They became monarch. Nobody could challenge their sovereignty. That was the time when Parikshit Maharaj was born. And he got all the facilities, not like his forefathers, like Pandavas had to suffer so much. So everything was given to him. In fact, he says that, what is my qualification? It is not my qualification. I am great simply because I am connected to the Pandavas. Because they were so great devotees and I am connected to them, therefore I am being called as a great person. But there is no greatness in me. So he was able to practice devotional service from his early childhood. Therefore he is called as Parikshit, who was looking for Krishna. And suddenly at one point of time in his life, when apparently he had not made any mistake, that mistake was also very insignificant. And he was cursed by a Brahmana boy that within 7 days you should die, while he was engaged in the service of the Lord. This is what the rishis of the Naimisharanya, they are asking this question to Suta Goswami, that Parikshit Maharaj was engaged in the service of the Lord. Whatever he was doing, it was meant for the subjects in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then why did he decide to sit on the bank of Ganga and give up everything, all of his possessions? And Rupa Goswami quotes this, that when he was cursed by that Takshaka, that Brahmana boy, that within 7 days you will be killed. How did Parikshit Maharaj take it? He didn't question Krishna's doing in his life. He said, Tammopayatam pratiyantu vipra, Gangacha devi dhritachitta mesha, Dvijopasrishta kohokam takshakova, Dasatvalam gayata vishnu gataha. He said, my dear Brahmanas, that let whatever this takshaka or whatever this brahmana boy has created, either snake bird or whatever magical one, let it come and bite me at once while I hear the nectarian pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You go on speaking about Krishna. So Prabhupada Rupa Goswami quotes, this example of Maharaj Parikshit's behavior is remaining patient even at the last point of his life. His undisturbed condition of mind is an example of reservation or perseverance. This is one of the characteristics of a devotee who has developed ecstatic love for Krishna. There is no disturbance. He becomes undisturbed. Prahlad Maharaj also, that when there was a disturbance in his life, he was not disturbed. The example is given again. There was one great so-called philosopher. He impressed so many people, not inspired, impressed so many people by his philosophy. But when the time came for his departure, he became so fearful. He was telling his doctors that, please, please try to protect me. I want to stay here. He was willing to give the money of the organization so he could stay for more years. He became very fearful of his death. He became fearful of losing everything. Even though he spoke about how one should be fearless in the situation of death, he was a big philosopher. But at the time of real test, he could not sustain. And somebody was saying, during Prabhupada's departure, devotees were asking Prabhupada, what is your last wish? And you can hear in the Prabhupada's tape, kuch ichha nahi, no desires. That is the sign of a pure devotee. That even though such big organization is there, yes, he was concerned about how this organization will be run. Therefore, he arranged a system. But in his personal life, such big organization did not disturb his personal devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He said, I'm ready to go now. Kuch ichha nahi. That is what Prabhupada says. Even up to the last point, a devotee is not disturbed. And the example is given of Parikshit Maharaj. That he said, let whatever this Brahmana boy has created, let it come and bite me at once. Unfortunately, most professional Bhagavad speakers, they speak a contrary story. What do they say? That Parikshit Maharaj, you know, when he came to know that he is going to be beaten by a snake bird, he arranged a very huge cage for himself, where even air could not pass in. And this story is told, even in the literatures of the place where the actual Bhagavatam was spoken by Shukadeva Goswami to Parikshit Maharaj at Shuktal. They sell this literature there, saying that how Parikshit Maharaj, in fact they have made a pictures also, that Parikshit Maharaj is sitting and somebody is bringing some fruits. Parikshit Maharaj is covered, there is a big protection, and somebody brings him some fruits, and this one fruit, the bear fruit, there was a small insect and it went and bit him. That is not the example. Rupa Goswami would have not quoted the example of Parikshit Maharaj if he had done like that. And this is what many Bhagavad speakers quote this story. To make Parikshit Maharaj mundane, to make Srimad Bhagavatam mundane, and to make Krishna's pastime mundane. How did Rupa Goswami and all the Goswamis compile the Shastras? Nana Shastra Vicharanaika Nipuno Saddharma Samstapakano. They churned all the essence of the scriptures. They found the most authentic stories. And they are giving it here in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Therefore, this is the right example of Parikshit Maharaj, that how he was able to tolerate. And next, detachment. A sign of a great devotee is that he is detached. Story is told, during Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj's time, one speaker would come and try to converse with Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj to show that he is exhibiting ecstatic symptoms. He was a Bhagavad speaker. And when he came there and he tried to speak something to Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj, he would not hear. And he left because he was neglected. And Babaji Maharaj said, clean this place with cow dung, cow urine and Ganga water. And the devotee said, but Babaji Maharaj, he was speaking about Krishna. He said, no, no, he was not speaking about Krishna, he was speaking about money, money. And actually they found out that he came to Babaji Maharaj so that people will know his connection to Babaji Maharaj and he will give money. But a devotee of the Lord, even though he may not be so called Babaji, but a great king like Bharat Maharaj, Rup Goswami gives the example of Bharat Maharaj. What was his detachment in ecstatic love for Krishna? That Bharat Maharaj could give up everything in his possession as if someone after passing stool without looking, he walks away from that place. That is the sign of detachment. Again, we can also use the same example of Srila Prabhupada. Kuch Ichha Nahi. It is a psychology of a person, if you have something, you become attached to it. Even up to the time of death, it is not very easy to give up. If he is always surrounded by his family members, if he is surrounded by his wealth, it is not possible for him to become detached. It is not possible, it is impossible. Psychologically, it is impossible. But still, when a pure devotee exhibits ecstatic symptoms, even though he has got a big spiritual organization, he can be completely detached. So Bharat Maharaj, even though he was a great king, when the time came for him to go to the forest in search or in the practice of devotional service, Srila Rupa Goswami gives the example. And when Sukadev Goswami concludes the pastimes in the fifth canto, the pastime of Bharat Maharaj, in the last chapters of this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, he explains that most people, again this point we are making, most people are like flies. What is the nature of fly? The nature of fly is that it is attracted to some mundane thing, very nasty thing. But he says, Bharat Maharaj is like Garuda. He was not looking down, he was flying above. So therefore, the character of Bharat Maharaj is so great that he was not seeing from a mundane point of view. He was much beyond. Out of ecstatic symptoms, he could become completely detached. And again, even within our society, those who had such a love for Srila Prabhupada, they exhibited this great detachment. The story is told about Giriraj Maharaj. His father came to take him back. And he was willing to give so much of money to Srila Prabhupada. And even tempting his own son. And what did Giriraj Maharaj said? Prabhupada, take his money also and take me also. Don't give up anything. Take his money also and take me also. So the point is that detachment is exhibited because there is love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Next item, pridelessness. Again, one who has actual symptoms of love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is not that he wants to exhibit it. He becomes totally humble, and Prabhupada gives the example from the Bhagavata itself. When Rishabhdev, we are discussing in our regular class, Rishabhdev, when he gave up everything, he would go to his enemy's place to beg from. He was a big king and he has conquered everybody. And such Bharat Maharaj would go to his enemy's kingdom and he would beg from them. That is the sign of pridelessness. And Prabhupada quotes the example of one Lala Babu from Bengal. He was a big landlord. And he came to Vrindavan. And he would beg from his enemies. It's a long story that he would beg from his enemies. They had a big fight when they were big landlords. But he gave up everything and he was living in Vrindavan. And his guru would not give him diksha. He would not say anything. He would not give him initiation. Only when Lala Babu realized that my guru is not giving me diksha because I still have this feeling that I can go to anybody's house but not my rival's house. But guru would not tell him that. And one day Lala Babu, out of great humility because he had love for Krishna, he had love for his spiritual master, with great humility went to the house of his rival. And by seeing Lala Babu on the doorstep, the rival was melted. He said, how is that? You know, my rival has come to my place. He came running. He fell at his feet. He offered him all kinds of charity in the form of fruits, grains, everything. Lala Babu said, I don't want all of these things. I want your mercy. I want your grace. So that I can experience some love. Immediately when he went back, his spiritual master initiated him. So that pridelessness is also a symptom of one who is experiencing the ecstatic symptom. Again, if you have a lot of wealth, if you have a lot of followers, success brings pride and failure brings envy. Again, this is a psychology. If there is a lot of success, we become proud. And if there is no success, we become envious of those who have success. Again, Srila Prabhupada, during his departure, you know, he was making this point to his god brothers, being humble. And in the fourth canto, Prabhupada explains that not begging forgiveness from your friends and others is sign of insanity. Anybody who's sane, at least at the time of his departure, he will beg forgiveness. Again, that pridelessness was also exhibited. And therefore, some of his god brothers were saying, Prabhupada said, I offended so many people. I'm most fallen. They said, no, you are not most fallen, you are Patit Pavan. You are not Patit, but rather you are Patit Pavan. You helped so many conditioned soul to practice devotional service. So that pridelessness, one time one devotee. Sometime if you are really great, if you have a big position, you know, you become proud and you don't want to say anything. One time one devotee told Srila Prabhupada, this is recorded in Lilamrit. He told Srila Prabhupada, I am thinking about my wife, my former wife. Prabhupada said, that is quite common. He said, even I think sometime. He didn't exhibit, oh, I am so pure, no thought comes to me. As a practitioner, Srila Prabhupada was exhibiting. In fact, in one of the lectures, during the disappearance of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada said that my Guru Maharaj wanted me to take to Krishna consciousness in my early days. But what can be done? Maya is there. Therefore, I could not take to devotional service. But better late than never. So pure devotee of the Lord, he does not mind speaking which is apparently true. It's a pastime of a pure devotee, but he has no pride to show that I am a great devotee of the Lord. He does not do that. So that is also a symptom of one who is situated in ecstatic symptom. Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami and all the great acharyas, they exhibit their former life also. Chaitanya Charitamrita talks about the great qualities of Rupa and Sanatana, but also talks about their previous life. What kind of work they were doing, how they were working for somebody who was not from a high family and how they considered themselves fallen because of working for such a person. So that is the natural characteristic of a pure devotee of the Lord who is exhibiting or express or experiencing the ecstatic symptom for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the next quality, great hope. Even though one may experience the ecstatic symptom for the Lord, a devotee of the Lord never feels that he is actually experiencing the love of God. He still feels that I am too far away from the attainment of real goal. But that consciousness does not make him hopeless. Again, many times we become hopeless by seeing our surrounding. That, oh, this devotee is not progressing. I am trying for so many years, but the result is not coming. What is the use of my hard work, practicing Krishna consciousness? There is no chance. One becomes hopeless in the adversities. But the quality of a devotee, one who is situated in ecstatic symptom, is that he never gives up hope. He has complete conviction. He knows his background, that I am not qualified to receive the mercy of the Lord, but at the same time he has great hope in Krishna. Hopeless in oneself, but great hope in Krishna. And because of that, he continues to practice devotional service. To such an extent, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains that such a devotee of the Lord, even if Krishna comes and tells him, this is amazing. If Krishna comes and tells such a pure devotee of the Lord that all of your endeavor, even though you may experience some kind of devotional symptoms, But I tell you, my dear friend, Krishna is telling a devotee that not only in this lifetime, but in no lifetime you can ever attain me. There is no point in practicing devotional service because you are not going to attain me. That is the hopelessness. But even in such condition, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, a devotee will not give up. He said, okay, even if you don't want to give me, I will continue to practice devotional service. Because he has hope. He has great hope in the midst of hopelessness that Krishna will bestow mercy one day. The example of Mukunda Dutt. He had no hope of receiving the mercy of the Lord. Even in that hopeless situation, he became hopeful. And therefore, Mahaprabhu bestowed his mercy. And eagerness for achieving the desired success. Srila Prabhupada explains that whatever price one has to pay to receive the mercy of the Lord, one should be willing to pay the price. If that eagerness is there, that is so eager to attain the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is willing to pay any price for that. Again, that is a symptom of ecstatic symptoms. Another one is that attachment to chanting the holy name of the Lord. One sannyasi was mentioning, how do you know that you have taste for chanting Hare Krishna? He said, one can know that one has love for chanting Hare Krishna, that after you finish 16 rounds, you don't feel, okay, I finished now. You continue to chant next round. Then again you continue to chant next round. Then you continue to chant next round. That is the sign that you have attachment for chanting Hare Krishna. Otherwise, when we regulate, I chant 64 or I chant 16 rounds, we are doing it because we have regulated ourselves. I need to chant this many rounds. But once that is done, what is the feeling? I have done it. There is a feeling of relief. Devamrita Swami Maharaj was explaining in Pune that it's like a battle, it's like a fight. Every day chanting 16 rounds. And once we finish it, it is like, oh, big burden has come out of my head. That means there is no attachment to chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. Once we finish our required quota, there is still great desire to chant Hare Krishna. And he continues to chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Then Rupa Goswami speaks about great eagerness to describe the Lord's transcendental qualities. A pure devotee of the Lord, one time I think when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was sick during his departure pastime, he became very sick and the doctors told him not to speak. He said, that is not possible. He said, that is a greater disease for me. I don't mind being diseased. But to tell me not to speak of Krishna, how will I survive? What is the point of my life if I don't speak about Krishna? He was lamenting. So that is the eagerness of a devotee. In fact, a devotee of the Lord becomes mad to speak about Krishna. We remember one time when during Ratha Yatra festival, one of our Odian devotees, he saw in the presence of Lord Jagannath, there was one madman. And he was standing in the presence of Lord Jagannath and he was speaking all kinds of things. Those who did not understand Odia, we felt that, you know, this madman speaking something nonsense. When our Radhavalla Prabhu, when he heard him speak, what was he speaking? All of his madness was related to Krishna. He was glorifying Lord Jagannath. So the point is that similarly a devotee of the Lord, even in a very difficult situation when he is ordered not to speak, that itself is a disease for them. Nobody could stop Prabhupada. That don't speak now. How is it possible? They have no other business other than to speak about Krishna. And to tell them not to speak of Krishna is insanity. It's not a proper prescription. They'll keep on speaking about Krishna. And that eagerness to speak about Krishna is another character of a person who is exhibiting ecstatic symptoms. And then Srila Rupa Goswami explains that such a devotee of the Lord, sometime it may appear that one who is situated in the ecstatic symptoms to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it may appear that he may have some contamination. It may appear that he may fall down from the path of devotional service accidentally. And Srila Rupa Goswami explains by quoting a shastra, that is like having a pock marks on the moon. Why not see the full moon which is glittering and shining? So the advanced devotees and other devotees will not see those pock marks on the body of the moon. Similarly, on the activities of a devotee, if he falls down accidentally, that is not taken very seriously. Why? Because even in that condition, he continues to practice devotional service. His fall down and a fall down of an ordinary person is like if there is a ball made of a rubber and you drop that ball from the great height, what will happen? The ball will bounce back. That is the fall of an advanced devotee. He bounces back to the lotus feet of Krishna. And a fall of an ordinary person is like a clay, wet clay. When the wet clay falls to the ground, what happens? It does not rise only. It becomes hard eventually. Even if you try and scrape it, it does not come out. That is the difference between a fall of an advanced devotee and a fall of an ordinary person. So therefore, Rupa Goswami, Srila Prabhupada concludes this chapter. Amazing. Therefore, when Bharat Maharaj fell down, he was on the level of ecstatic love. He was exhibiting Bhava Bhakti. But even though he fell down, his fall down was glorious in one sense. Why? Because it gave more chance to Sukadeva Goswami to explain about the characteristic of Bharat Maharaj as a deer and also as the Jada Bharat. So that is how one has to see that even if sometime a devotee falls down, what to speak of pure devotee? Prabhupada would talk about ordinary devotees also. One time he said that if you see, he in fact quoted also, this article came in the BTG, therefore I can in fact quote. Jayadvaita Maharaj was giving lecture in New York and he quoted what Prabhupada had said. He said, if you find in our 26th Second Avenue Brahmanand Prabhu coming having a cigarette in his hand, smoking, still one should understand that it's still a devotee of the Lord. Why? Because he has engaged so much in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So if Krishna, if Srila Prabhupada is speaking about a practicing devotee, if anybody has engaged in the service of the Lord for so many years, if there is a fall down, it should not be taken seriously. Of course, he should be given assistance so that he can rise back just like a bouncing ball and go high as much as possible. Not become like a clay, wet clay and become dried out. And Prabhupada concludes that chapter to give us the hope in the process of devotional service. And in regards to Prema Bhakti, Srila Prabhupada gives very simple definition that Prema Bhakti means when the ankur, when the seed of Bhava Bhakti or the seed of Prema Bhakti becomes full grown tree which can produce fruits. And then he defines what is love. And he quotes Bhishma Dev. Now Bhishma Dev is quoted. Bhishma Dev is in what ras? He is in Veera ras. Such Bhishma Dev is quoted as an example to show that what is the definition of love. Definition of love means when you repose all of your attention to one personality, at one object. In this material world, it is not possible. If you love someone, then you cannot love others. And Prabhupada gave a very brilliant example in Nectar of Devotion lecture. He said, you just see how it is contradictory. In this material world, people, they speak, big leaders come and speak, that you don't love Krishna, you love your nation. You love your society. But when they say that you love your society, that means you hate other society. That is, it is, you know, synonymous that if you love your society, that means you have to hate somebody else's society. If you love your nation means you have to hate somebody else's nation. You have to cut their throat. So therefore, love of this world is connected to hating somebody else. You cannot love everyone unless you love Krishna. And Prabhupada gave another brilliant example. When we love Krishna, loving Krishna is like making a vibration in a radio station. If I am sitting in a radio station and if I make a sound, and the sound of my sound, it travels like a vibration, it travels like a wave. And anybody who has the access, he can actually connect himself and hear what I am speaking. So similarly, Prabhupada says, unless we love Krishna, all our attention is not reposed to Krishna or directed to Krishna, then all of our love is nothing but hate to somebody else. It is unavoidable. But everything is directed to Krishna, it is like going to the radio station and speaking from there. When we love Krishna, the waves of that love, the vibration of that love, it travels like the waves. And it affects everybody. So therefore, one who loves Krishna, his natural symptom is that he loves all other living entities. That is a natural symptom. So therefore, when we talk about loving, it can only be to Krishna, to no other living entities. And that love does not become narrow. Loving Krishna does not include hating others. Loving Krishna includes loving others also. It expands. And therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came. And he's an example. Mahaprabhu is none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he came as a devotee. What he did? He exhibited that love for Krishna, and that love for Krishna traveled all over. And it conquered so many people. He came to distribute the fruits of love of God. So Rupa Goswami concludes the eastern division of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu by offering prayers to his Goswami friends, his spiritual master Sanatan Goswami, Gopal Bhatt Goswami, Raghunath Bhatt Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami, saying that I have completed the first wave of devotional service. So this is how we discuss the Samanya Bhakti, the Sadhana Bhakti, the Bhava Bhakti and Prema Bhakti. And if we continue to practice devotional service in regulated way, the Sadhana Bhakti, we can all attain this stage. The stage of Bhava Bhakti and the stage of Prema Bhakti. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. We have no time for question. We thank everyone for giving their time and attention to come and hear the wonderful book of Srila Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Nectar of Devotion. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki, the Nectar of Devotion ki, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu ki, Srila Rupa Goswami ki, Gaur Premanande.